سلام. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، then to continue with العقيدة الطحاوية, the creed compiled by Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi rahimahullah, with the explanation of Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan hafidhahullah. Then last week we had the one important point number 194, wa nuhibbu ashab rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, and we love the companions of Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. May Allah extol him and his true followers and grant them peace and security. Ya rahmakallah. There was, of course, one piece of homework, if we remember, which was to ascertain the names of the 10 companions promised paradise and their kunyas, their dates of death and places of death. Anyone with the heads lowered have done the work then. With regard to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who can give me the name of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu? With your notes, of course. Not, you know, it wasn't a memory job unless you want to. Ism Abu Bakr. And a few words. The first, Khair Abu Hafs Omar radiallahu anhu. Khair. Kunya of Umar, as the brother mentioned, we'll move on to Kunya of Umar, radiallahu an, Abu Hafs. And he died in the year 1 Anyway, back to number one, inshallah. Abu Bakr, radiallahu an. The name of Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhu. All right, who can give me the kunya of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu? Hey, mashallah. At least there's one question right there. Alhamdulillah. Allahu musta'an. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the trick question. I might as well read. I'll read the answers, inshallah. For those of you who didn't bring their notes along, inshallah, then Allah al-musta'an. Then, with regard to some of the dates, or particularly some of the months in which some of the companions died, then there's slight differences in reports. Some people say 1 month, or some people say another month, and sometimes with regard to years. And what follows, and there will be a handout, and there seems to be a need for a handout afterwards, inshallah. One of the brothers, Jazahullah Khairan, has done some work putting these things together in a handout. So, as for the 10 companions from his paradise, and the first of them, of course, the first and foremost, being Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhu. And of course, all of the 10 were from the Muhajireen, from the tribe of Quraysh. So that's the easy part. If you want to know which tribe, then all of them are from Quraysh, all of them from the Muhajireen, originally from Mecca. The first of them being Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhu, well known by his kunya, of course. And his name was Abdullah. And his father's name was Uthman, also known as Abu Quhafa. So Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhu, was Abdullah ibn Uthman ibn Amir. Or it can be put another way, Abdullah ibn Abi Quhafa ibn Amir. he became Khalifa after the death, just after the death of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he died. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu died in the month of Jumad al-Ula, the sixth month. Can't tell my fingers. The sixth month, Jumad al-Ula, of the year 13 after the Hijrah, aged 63. He died at the same age of the as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was Khalifa for just over 2 years. Of course, he died in Al-Madinah. Then, with regard to Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu an, and as the brother rightly said, his kunya was Abu Hafs. He died in the month of Dhul-Hijjah, in the year 23. Also aged 63. Same age as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at his death, and the same age as Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu at his death, age of 63. And he was Khalifa for 10 months, or rather he was Khalifa for 10 years and 6 months, or thereabouts. Again, he died in Al-Madinah. And we know in the authentic narration that Umar radiallahu anhu, he made dua that he should be granted martyrdom. He made dua for shahada, for martyrdom in Allah's cause, in the Medina, in the city of Allah's Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he made dua for a double dua, that he should be granted martyrdom and that it should occur in Al-Medina. And he was granted both. He was martyred, obviously he was killed, leading the prayer. Died as a martyr in Al-Medina. As for Uthman radiallahu an, then he was, of course, Uthman ibn Affan. His kunya was Abu Abdullah. He died in the month of Dhul-Hijjah, the 12th month of the year 35, at the age of 80 and more than 80. And he was Khalifa for 12 years. And of course, again, he died, he was martyred in Al-Madinah. He was killed in Al-Madinah. As is well known, killed reciting the Qur'an. On a day when he was fasting, in the days of Dhul-Hijjah. As for Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu an, then his kunya was Abu al-Hasan. And he was also given the kunya, the title, by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as of Abu Turab, the father of dust. When on one occasion he was lying in the masjid with dust blowing over him, then he was given this kunya as well, Abu Turab. But his original kunya was Abu al-Hasan. He died and was killed, of course, by the Khawarij in the year 40, in Ramadan of the year 40, aged 63. And he was Khalifa for 5 years. And he was killed in Kufa. As for Talha ibn Ubaidillah, then his kunya was Abu Muhammad. And he died in Jumad al-Akhirah, in the seventh month. That can't be right. In the sixth month. Jumad al-Ula was the fifth month, and this is Jumad al-Akhirah, the sixth month. So Abu Bakr, radiallahu an, he died in Jumad al-Ula, which is the fifth month. Here, Talha, he died in Jumad al-Akhirah, the sixth month, of the year 36, at the age of 62. And he died at the battlefield of the camel, Al-Jamal. He was there at the Battle of the Camel, and there are different reports about exactly what happened. There's a report that he went forward to speak to Ali radiallahu anh on the opposite side, and that he withdrew, and either left the battlefield or withdrew into a row behind, and that he was shot by an arrow. He was shot by an arrow and died from his wounds, radiallahu anh. And he died either in the city of Basra, that he carried on to the city of Basra, and either died in the city of Basra, or before he got there, close to Basra. As for Az-Zubayr, then he was Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam. His kunya was Abu Abdullah. And he died in Jumad al-Akhirah, the same month as Talha, in the same year, the year 36 after the Hijrah, at the age of 66 or 67. And Az-Zubayr, he went to the place of the Battle of the Camel, but he did not take part in the battle. He went to speak to Ali radiallahu an, who reminded him of a hadith, and he withdrew from the battle. And he went away, and then on the way, it's mentioned in some narrations that he met a man on the way, and that they agreed to travel together, and they took an agreement from each other. They each of them had a safeguard from the other. So they safeguarded each other, they wouldn't harm each other on this journey. So they travelled together. Then while Az-Zubayr was sleeping, some narrations mention he was sleeping, the other one tricked him and killed him, radiallahu anhu. And that was at, he died at Wadi As-Siba'a, meaning the valley of the wild animals. It's a certain valley, Wadi As-Siba'a, again near Basra, near the city of Basra, which of course the Battle of the Camel was fought near the city of Basra. As for Abdurrahman ibn Auf, then his kunya was Abu Muhammad. And he died in the year 32, at the age of 72. Again, as a side point, it's mentioned in some narrations, Wallahu A'lam, that he heard that Uthman radiallahu anh intended to appoint him as his successor. So therefore he made dua that he would not live beyond Uthman radiallahu anh. He died 3 years before Uthman radiallahu anh, died in the year 32 at the age of 72 and died in Al-Madinah. As for Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas, then his kunya was Abu Ishaq, and he died in the year 55, and he was the last of the 10 to die. Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas died in the year 55 in his castle, his fort, on the edges, on the outskirts of Al-Madina, in Wadi al-Aqiq, this valley that's to the north and northwest and west, well, it's to the northwest and the west of Al-Madina, Wadi al-Aqiq, towards the direction of where the university is, Wadi al-Aqiq. He had a fortress there, he died there. And then they mention that he was carried into Al-Madinah, he was carried on the backs of men into Al-Madinah and buried in Al-Baqi'ah, the graveyard of Al-Baqi'ah. Of course, dying in Al-Madinah, as we said. As for Sa'id ibn Zayd, then he was Sa'id ibn Zayd ibn Amr. His kunya was Abu al-A'war. And he died in the year 51 at the age of more than 70-something in the year 51. Again, he also died in the same place, Wadi al-Aqiq, in the same area, this area of Wadi al-Aqiq, the ancient valley, ancient riverbed, dying, in the correct saying, in Al-Madinah. And there are some reports that he died in Kufa, city of Kufa in Iraq. And some of the verifiers say that is a strange saying. It's not what's correct, it's a strange saying. Rather, he died in Al-Madinah. And as for Amir ibn Abdullah, or as for Abu Ubaidah, well known by his kunya, Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, then his name was Amir ibn Abdullah ibn al-Jarrah. Amir ibn Abdullah ibn al-Jarrah. His kunya was Abu Ubaidah. He died in the year 18, at the age of 58. And he died during the plague of Amawas. And he died in or somewhere near a small village called Fahl, which is a village near a larger village called Baysan in Palestine. To the south, somewhere in Palestine, in eastern Palestine. Then when you get this, when and if you get this handout, inshallah, you'll find that on one side, inshallah, with a, along with a timeline to show you roughly when each of them died, along with the references for these sayings. And on the other side, how each of the ten is connected through lineage to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As we said, each of them was from Quraysh. You'll find, when you get hold of it, inshallah, on the back, how their lineage links up with the lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then to continue with the lesson, then At-Tahawi rahimahullah, he continued, carrying on from last week's point. Last week was 194. وَنُحِبُّ أَصْحَابَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ. And we love the companions of Allah's Messenger, صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Then comes this point. Point number 195. وَلَا نُفْرِطُ فِي حُبِّ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ. And we do not go beyond the limits in love of any one of them. And we do not go beyond the limits in love of any one of them. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, he said, al-ifrat, explaining this first word, that we do not have ifrat. He said, al-ifrat means al-ghulu, going beyond the limits. We don't have ifrat. We don't go beyond the limits. He said, meaning, we do not go beyond the due limits. We don't go to extremes in love of any one of them. As the Rafida Shia went beyond the limits in love of Ali radiallahu anhu, as they claim, ala za'amihim. They claim, of course, they claim, it's just a claim that they have. They claim to love Ali radiallahu anhu, and then they go beyond all limits in that love, which they claim. Sheikh said, as the Rafida, we don't do as the Rafida did in love of Ali radiallahu anhu, as they claim to have love. However, what is apparent is that they do not actually love him, nor do they love the Muslims in general. So they went beyond the limits about him, to the extent that some of them said that Ali is Allah. And this was in the time of Ali radiallahu anhu. So therefore he dug trenches for them, and he burnt them with fire out of zeal and devotedness for Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. The Sheikh said, so al-ghulu, going beyond the limits, is prohibited, whether it be regarding the companions or anyone else. He, the one free of all imperfections, said, Ya Ahlal Kitabi la taghlu fi dinikum ghayr al haqq. Surah Al-Ma'idah, the fifth surah, ayah 77, with the explanation, O people of the book, do not go beyond the bounds in your religion with other than the truth. He said, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْغُلُوْ فَإِنَّمَا أَهْلَكَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمُ الْغُلُوْ. Beware of going beyond the limits. Beware of extremism. Because those who came before you were destroyed by going beyond the due limits. In a footnote, they mentioned this hadith is reported by Ahmad in his Musnad, and it's also reported by An-Nasa'i and Ibn Majah, and it's from a hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. Hadith declared authentic by Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah. Shaykh Fawzan said, so we have love for the companions of Allah's Messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam. However, we do not go beyond the due limits with regard to them, to the extent that we make them partners along with Allah, and that we call upon them or invoke them besides Allah. We don't do that, as is done by the Rafidah and the grave worshippers. For this is not love of the companions. I mean, this is what the Rafidah do and what the grave worshippers do. They call upon companions or others in their graves and say, this is from our love for them. So Shaykh al-Fawzan said, this is not from love of them. This is not love of the companions. He said, for love of them involves following them and taking them as a model to emulate, and asking for Allah's pleasure for them. What taraddi alayhim, asking that Allah radiyallahu anhum, may Allah be pleased with them. That is what love of the companions necessitates and involves. That we follow them, take them as a model to follow, and ask for Allah's pleasure upon them. Then At-Tahawi, rahimahullah, he continues with the next point here. Point number 196. وَلَا نَتَبَرَّأُ مِنْ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ. And we do not disown and free ourselves from any one of them. And we do not disown and free ourselves from any one of them. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, this contains an indication towards the Rafidah. Again, the Rafidah Shia. Those who disassociate themselves from the companions, from the Sahaba. And in particular, from Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman. Indeed, they declare many of the Sahaba, many of the companions, to be unbelievers. So this is from At-Tafariq, falling short of what is required. I mean, the opposite what came in the first point. The first point was that we don't have ifrat. We don't go beyond the limits, go to extremes with regard to love of the companions. And now in this point, it's the other one, At-Tafariq, opposite of ifrat, Tafariq, falling below what is correct. So he said that the Rafidah Shia, they free themselves from the companions, in particular Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman. Indeed, they declare many of them to be unbelievers. So he said, so this is from At-Tafariq, falling short of what is required. So we do not fall short of what is required regarding love of them. Because At-Tafariq, falling short, means to abandon having love of them. Then At-Tahawi, and of course all these points being small points, interconnected. So At-Tahawi brings a further point, rahimahullah, he said, وَنُبْغِضُ مَنْ يُبْغِضُهُمْ. And we hate whoever hates them. We have hatred for whoever has hatred for the companions, for the Sahaba. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, whoever has hatred for the Sahaba, for the companions, then he has hatred for the deen. He has hatred for the religion. Because they are the ones who carried Islam. And they are the followers of the chosen messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam. So whoever hates them, then he has hated Islam. So this is a proof that these people do not have any iman in their hearts. So it contains a proof that they do not love Islam. Then At-Tahawi rahimahullah said, وَبِغَيْرِ الْخَيْرِ يَذْكُرُهُمْ وَلَا نَذْكُرُهُمْ إِلَّا بِخَيْرِ. So it's a point and it carries on, it's like a continuation of the sentence. And we hate whoever hates them. And this point, 198, meaning, and whoever mentions them with other than good. Meaning, and we hate also, we hate whoever mentions them with other than good. And we do not mention them except with good. So, and we hate whoever mentions them, the companions, with other than good. And we do not mention them except with good. Yarhamakallah. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, said, in accordance with what preceded. So it is not permissible to delve into the problems which occurred between them. I mean, those things which occurred between the companions, problems that occurred between them. He said, so it is not permissible to delve into problems which occurred between them. Rather, it is obligatory to withhold about that. And that they are not mentioned except with good. Obviously, when the Sheikh said, meaning in accordance with what preceded, meaning what we had last week, with regard to the fact that we do not enter into disputes that occurred between the companions. We don't delve into that, not even with the excuse that we only want to do it for research purposes. We don't even use an excuse like that. For whatever reason, we don't enter into those things. Rather, we keep our tongues safe with regard to them. Then, At-Tahawi, rahimahullah, he continues with this point, 199, وَحُبُّهُمْ دِينٌ وَإِيمَانٌ وَإِحْسَانٌ وَبُغْضُهُمْ كُفْرٌ وَنِفَاقٌ وَتُغِيَانٌ. And love of them, all these points referring to the companions, the Sahaba, and love of them is religion, true faith, iman, and goodness. And hatred of them is unbelief, kufr, hypocrisy, nifaq, and transgression, tughyan. Sheikh al-Fawzan said, this is a tremendous principle. It is obligatory upon the Muslims to be aware of it. And it is having love for the Sahaba, having love for the companions, and giving them due respect. Because that is a part of Iman. That is a part of true faith. And hating them, or hating any one of them, is a part of kufr, a part of unbelief, and nifaq, and an-nifaq, and hypocrisy. Because loving them is a part of loving the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or as a further reason, and because loving them is a part of loving the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And having hatred for them is a part of having hatred for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then At-Tahawi rahimahullah, he brings the next point, point number 200. وَنُثْبِتُ الْخِلَافَةَ بَعَدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ sallallahu alaihi wasallam أَوَّلًا لِأَبِي بَكْرٍ الصِّدِّيقِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ تَفْضِيلًا لَهُ وَتَقْدِيمًا عَلَى جَمِيعِ الْأُمَّةِ ثُمَّ لِأُمَرْ ابن الخطاب رضي الله عنه ثم لعثمان رضي الله عنه ثم لعلي ابن ابي طالب رضي الله عنه وهم الخلفاء الراشدون والأئمة المهتدون. He said, as point number 200, and we affirm the Khilafah, and we affirm the Caliphate after Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, firstly for Abu Bakr, as-Siddiq, radiyallahu anhu, affirming his excellence and precedence over the whole of the Ummah. Then for Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiyallahu anhu. Then for Uthman, radiyallahu anhu. Then for Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiyallahu anhu. And they are the rightly guided khulafa, the rightly guided caliphs, and the rightly guided imams. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, said, after finishing that which is obligatory in relation to the companions, with regard to muhabbah, with regard to love, and al-wala, and alliance, and keeping away from having hatred of them, and hating those who hate them, and not entering into whatever occurred between them. So Sheikh has highlighted the points that just preceded, what's obligatory with regard to companions, with regard to firstly having love of them, secondly having alliance towards them, thirdly avoiding having hatred for them, fourthly having hatred, that we have hatred for those who have hatred for them, and fifthly not entering into disputes that occurred between them, matters that occurred between them. He said, having finished with that, he then began by mentioning the Khilafah, the Khilafah after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it was in the order which he mentioned. Firstly for Abu Bakr, the Khilafah was firstly for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, then Umar, then Uthman, then Ali. So he said, and it was in the order which he mentioned. Since the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the end of his life put Abu Bakr forward to lead the prayer, and this contained an indication towards his Khilafah, his being the Khalifa, his going to become the Khalifa. And this is why when the companions gave him the pledge, when the companions gave the pledge to Abu Bakr, when they gave him the pledge, they said, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was pleased with you for the affair of our religion. Shall we not therefore be pleased with you for our worldly affairs? That's what they said. Meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam placed you in charge of, even while he was alive, placed you in charge of our religious affairs, made you the imam for the prayer. Should we not be pleased with you to put you in charge of our worldly affairs? So they gave him the pledge, the bay'ah. And also, because of the tremendous points of precedence which Abu Bakr had before and after the hijrah, the migration. And he was the best of the people after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then after him, it was Umar ibn al-Khattab. After Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu passed away, the Khalifa was Umar ibn al-Khattab, who was written by Abu Bakr as his successor. Abu Bakr wrote before he died that the Khalifa after me will be Umar. Sheikh said, and then Uthman. By consensus, ijma' of the companions, by his being chosen by the companions of the Shura, the consultative body, those who were named by Umar before he died, those who were from the 10 promised paradise, and they were the best of the companions. In other words, that Abu Bakr radiallahu anh stated that after he passed away, that Umar would be the Khalifa after him. As for Umar radiallahu anh, then when he was dying, then he appointed a body from the ten companions promised paradise, a body who would consult with each other and then declare who would be the Khalifa afterwards. And with regard to the killing of Umar, the martyrdom of Umar radiallahu anh, and how it was decided, how they got together, and how it came about that Uthman radiallahu anh was appointed the Khalifa afterwards, and how the bay'ah was given to him, then you can refer to the hadith reported by al-Bukhari. That's hadith 3700. So as Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so then he was appointed by that body of the companions, they appointed him, and they chose him. And then after the killing of Uthman, Ali radiallahu anhu took over. This is the order of the Khilafah. So whoever claims that the Khilafah after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was for Ali radiallahu anhu, then he is astray. And he is opposing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the consensus, the ijma' of the Muslims. Anyone who claims that straight after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the correct successor, the correct Khalifa was Ali radiallahu anhu, he should have been the first Khalifa, then as the Shaykh al-Fawzan said, such a person is dal, is astray. And he is opposing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and opposing the consensus of the Muslims. Then he goes on to mention those who hold that saying. He said, so the Shia, they're the ones who claim that. So the Shia, they claim that it was for Ali. And they call him Al-Wasi al-Ummah. They say that Ali, that's what the Shia say, they say that Ali radiallahu anh was the stipulated successor over the Ummah. But their intention is only to incite trouble and to provoke trials and tribulations between the people. So they do not have better insight than the companions radiallahu anhum. In other words, all of the companions, by agreement, chose Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And then afterwards, Umar. And then after that, Uthman. And then after that, Ali radiallahu anhu. He was the one who came after the fourth. The Shaykh said, so the Shia, they say that the companions were oppressors, and that every bloody description in the Quran is meant to refer to the companions, in their view. So they therefore describe them as being oppressors, and kafirun, unbelievers, and dalun, astray. This is how the Shia describe the companions. They take all the every reference in the Quran which contains a blameworthy description of someone, they apply it and say it means the companions. So therefore they call the companions oppressors, unbelievers, and astray. The Shaykh said, so this is what led the scholars to mention the Khilafah in the books of Aqidah. That's why they brought the matter of Khilafah and mentioned it in the books of Aqidah. So that no one is influenced by those filthy beings. So that nobody is misled by the Rafida Shia. The Shaykh said, so the four Khulafa, being in this order, this is the position of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Because the companions laid down this arrangement. The companions, they put them in this order. And they were united in consensus, ijma' upon that. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah said, Man khalafa fi amr al-khilafa, fahuwa adal min himari ahlihi. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah said, whoever opposes with regard to the matter of khilafa, then he is more astray than his domesticated donkey. In this matter, with regard to the khilafa after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the first and correct khalifa was Abu Bakr radiallahu an, and then Umar, and then Uthman, and then Ali. Whoever opposes about that is more astray than a donkey. And as for the next, and the point that we'll take as the last point today, inshallah, point number 201, then At-Tahawi, rahimahullah, said, وَأَنَّ الْعَشَرَةَ الَّذِينَ سَمَّاهُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَبَشَّرَهُمْ بِالْجَنَّةِ نَشْهَدُ لَهُمْ بِالْجَنَّةِ This is an addition contained in some manuscripts. It's a correct addition that should be here in the text. نَشْهَدُ لَهُمْ بِالْجَنَّةِ So just repeat the point. وَأَنَّ الْعَشَرَةَ الَّذِينَ سَمَّاهُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَبَشَّرَهُمْ بِالْجَنَّةِ نَشْهَدُ لَهُمْ بِالْجَنَّةِ عَلَى مَا شَهِدَ لَهُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَقَوْلُهُ الْحَقِّ وَهُمْ أَبُو بَكْرِ وَأُمَرْ وَأُثْمَانِ وَعَلِي وَطَلْحَةِ وَالزُّبَيْرِ وسعد وسعيد وعبد الرحمن بن عوف وأبو عبيدة ابن الجراح وهو أمين هذه الأمة رضي الله عنهم أجمعين. That he said, and the ten whom Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم named, and to whom he gave glad tidings of paradise, we bear witness that they will be in paradise, just as Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam bore witness. And his word is the truth, and they are Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali and Talha and Az-Zubair and Sa'ad and Sa'id and Abdul Rahman ibn Auf and Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, and he is the Amin, he is the eminently trustworthy one of this Ummah. Radiallahu anhum ajma'een. May Allah be pleased with them all. Amen. Shaykh al-Fawzan said in his explanation, so they are the ten who were promised paradise. And Abu Ubaidah, radiallahu anhu, was described as being the Amin, the eminently trustworthy one of this Ummah. Since when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a treaty with the people of Najran and imposed the payment of the jizya upon them, they requested from him that he should send to them a trustworthy man. So he chose Abu Ubaidah. And he said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لَأَبْعَثَنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ أَمِينًا حَقٌ أَمِينٌ. Or as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that I will certainly send to you a trustworthy man, one who is truly trustworthy. The Shaykh said, so the companions were eager for that. I mean, they were eager that they should be that one. So he sent Abu Ubaidah. The hadith, as I mentioned in the footnote, reported by Al-Bukhari, that's hadith 3745. And also as hadith number 4380. And reported by Muslim, and it's from a hadith of Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu. Alhamdulillah wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. Any points of clarification? Yeah. As the brother mentioned, there's likewise narrations. Obviously, with regard to the virtues, it was suggested that we should mention some hadith with regard to the virtues of the companions and the virtues of the ten. But if you open that door, then we could be... radiallahu anhum. Each one of them, Abu Bakr radiallahu an. Where do you start and where do you stop? Any one of them, radiallahu anhum. As the brother mentioned, as for Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, then likewise, it was mentioned about him being the Khalifa. But of course, but he died, radiallahu anhu, he died before that.
Maybe I misheard something that you talked about. Umar died, in the point of 10 people in the Shura?
No, the Shura, which was appointed by Umar, radiallahu anhu, that the Shura were from the 10 promised paradise. Yeah, I mean, some of the, obviously Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu passed away, Umar radiallahu anhu himself was dying, and Abu Ubaid had passed away already, radiallahu anhu, meaning, yeah. So the, and Sa'id, as far as I recall, Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqas didn't take part, he stayed away in his fort. Even there's the authentic narration that his son came to him while the people were deciding. His son came to him in his fortress in Wadi al-Aqiq and said, "What are you doing here, sitting in your fortress? People are deciding, you know, who's in charge, and you're sitting here." So he said, what an evil rider, you know, what you come to me for? Leave me alone, basically. He stayed away from any such thing. And likewise, Sa'id ibn Zayd as well, he stayed away. And then it came to the, if you could read the hadith, inshallah, hadith 3700, reported by al-Bukhari, hadith 3700, it describes, you know, how they went, how it came about. And it was the three of them withdrew out of the six. Three withdrew, and Umar radiallahu anhu, he appointed his own son, Abdullah ibn Umar, to be along with them. And as the people of knowledge mentioned, and as the Salaf mentioned, he himself was fitting to be the Khalifa as well. But he, of course, Umar radiallahu anhu, he stipulated that you don't choose my son. You're not allowed to choose my son as being a successor. So the six of them got together, and then three of them withdrew their names in favour of the other three, in favour of Uthman and Abdurrahman ibn Auf and Ali. And then from them it was decided. And then Abdurrahman ibn Auf, that he withdrew his name and took a pledge from the other two, from Uthman and from Ali, that whoever I choose from amongst you, obviously I'll take consultation of the people, and whoever I choose as being the best of you, then the other should accept. And so that was agreed. So then, of course, when he consulted and did everything, it was consulted that the best one for to be the Khalifa was Uthman radiallahu anhu. And he was chosen and the bay'ah was given. The brothers mentioned the point, there are some handouts, or we hope there are some handouts, somewhere amongst the sisters, inshallah. The same handout that the brothers are getting should be there for the sisters, inshallah. It should be a sheet. On one side, it mentions the name, basically last week's homework, name, kunya, year of death, and place of death of each of the ten. then a timeline underneath to see when each of them died compared to the others, then the references for all of this, the book references for all of that, and then on the other side, the lineage of each of the ten, and I hope you understand it, inshallah. Where each of them joined up with the lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you'll see in the sort of towards the middle of the chart, the lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he was Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, the son of Abdul Muttalib, the son of Hashim, the son of Abd Manaf, the son of Qusay, the son of Kilab, the son of Murra, the son of Ka'ab, the son of Lu'ay, the son of Ghalib, the son of Fihr. And then at various points there are branches coming off that. Obviously, Abdul Muttalib was the grandfather of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was also the grandfather of Ali. Then Abd Manaf was a descendant, was an ancestor of Uthman and Sa'ad. And then Qusay was an ancestor of Az-Zubayr. And so on, and so on. I hope it's fairly clear, inshallah. Both, inshallah, as far as I know. Sa'id and Sa'ad, as far as I recall, inshallah. No? Salam. Some are some not cousins, yeah. All. Yeah. It's very far back, yeah. Yeah. وسبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك